Father, what peace we have in you, O God. For your presence, O God, is so powerful. Your presence, O God, is the very nature of our existence, O God. It's the reason why we are created, O Lord, is to worship you, God. Father, we come to you this morning, O God, and we recognize that you sing over us, O Lord, that we worship you in spirit and in truth. We come to you, God, lifting our lives before you, O God. And Lord, even in these next few moments, Lord, as we look into your word, Father, let all that we are be consumed by who you are, O God. We want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, God. We just come into your presence with all humility. And we say, come and have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, what a powerful song. That our God sings over us. That our God is the God, that His presence is so awesome that all we are is consumed by who He is. You know, for this is the third week of worship month, you know, and I believe that you have been learning a few areas, new areas about worship and what it is to worship. As for me, for the longest time, I thought worship was singing songs. You know, was singing, whether it was the 20 minutes here or singing hymns, that was what my understanding of worship was. But only when I got into the scripture more and more did I realize what worship truly is. And in all truth, unless we understand what actual worship is, we may just be participating in a ritual or a habit of things without really appreciating the richness behind it. Maybe even a form of religion without understanding the power behind it. I've entitled this morning's message, Approaching the Throne of God. Approaching the Throne of God. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and you know, when I was growing up, if my dad scolds me or my mom scolds me, I would normally, you know, either just be quiet and listen and just go to a corner and cry or something like that, you know. But nowadays, kids are different. When you scold them, they scold you back. You know, so Isla did something a little bit naughty, so I scolded her. Then she looked at me and said, "You don't love me anymore. I don't want you to be my daddy anymore." And she goes off. You know, and she goes off to the side. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? You know, parenting is so difficult nowadays. You know, it's a whole different generation. And then about 5 minutes later, she comes back to me and she says, "I miss you, daddy." And she gives me a hug. And then she continues going on. So I'm like, did she actually get what I said? I was trying to scold her for something, but she turned the whole situation around like that. You know, and I realized that, you know, in that one moment, I understood human nature just a little bit better. How we sometimes react to God, how we interact with our Heavenly Father. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, it says this, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God," this is Adam and Eve after they had sinned, "they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" And God is still asking that of mankind today. Where are you? He's still seeking to have a relationship with each and every one of us. He is seeking to have that relationship with us. And today I want to propose to you three important areas that help us to approach God in true worship. And the first one is this. I think it's been expounded on quite a lot, but I just want to touch on it a little bit. Relationship. You know, God still wants to have a close, intimate relationship with each and every one of us, even though we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because that is what we are made for, to glorify God, to enjoy Him thoroughly, forever telling others about what good God we have. Pastor Ben offered a definition of what worship was, is all of us responding to all who God is. Allow me to just expand on that a little bit more. When we respond to God in that intimacy through confidence, admiration, fascination, and adoration. You know, when we approach God in confidence, we are recognizing the fact that God is worthy of worship, like how we sang just now, that God is worthy of worship. That God is omnipotent, that He's omnipresent, that He's omniscient. He is Almighty God. When we come to Him in admiration, that we have been made with the capacity to appreciate, admire who this God is. When we come to Him in fascination, we bring the full excitement and wonder. We get lost in who He is. When we come in adoration, we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to activate the love and adoration within us and the power within us, all that we are, to worship Him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It's kind of a famous verse. You know, a lot of people have expounded on it. But let me just read that to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. A living sacrifice. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a living sacrifice and a dead sacrifice? I wanted to ask my father-in-law, but I turned this side. Okay, let me ask someone else. Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble, correct? Okay, Kelvin, what's the difference between a dead sacrifice and a living sacrifice? One's dead, one's alive. Very good observation. Anyone else? I don't ask my wife, I'll get even more trouble. Okay, let's go.
Dead sacrifice stays there. Living sacrifice, each of us, we tend to crawl off the altar repeatedly, quickly.
That is exactly what I was looking for. Okay, give him a big hand. Come on. A dead sacrifice, you know, you take a dead sacrifice, you put it there, it doesn't go anywhere. It remains there. But a living sacrifice, we come and we offer ourselves to God, and then we tend to crawl off and go and do our own thing. And then we come back and say, God, I come back to you. And then we crawl off and we go back and do our own thing. A living sacrifice. But one thing that we need to remember is that we need to always go back to God in worship. To always go back. We should always return to worshiping our God, even at times when we stray away. Even at times when we don't feel that we are worthy. Even when we make bad decisions, we should always return to Him. You know, I remember the story of the prodigal son and how he was sitting there in the pigsty and he's looking at the food that the pigs are eating, and it's even better than what he was eating. And he realized that at that moment, I need to go back to my father's house. I need to go back into that relationship with my father. A living sacrifice is a continuous daily decision to walk in a lifestyle of worship. In a lifestyle of worship. Now, I'll read you the same verse in the Message translation. It says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Let me ask you a question. How do you worship God in your sleeping? Have you ever thought about that? How do you worship God in your eating? Chinese New Year just finished, right? Chap Gobe just over, right? You have been eating a lot in the last 2 weeks, right? How do you worship God in your eating? Let me just leave that thought with you. It's everyday things, everything we do on a daily basis. How do we worship God in that? In our interactions, how do you offer your business as a living sacrifice? Your own life, your own body. It's not just about the external things. It's not just about what you eat and how you eat and what you do. But it's the internal. That's what God's talking about. Offer. That's what Paul is saying here, is offer yourself. Your mind, your heart, your attitudes, your everything, your living, working, everyday life as a sacrifice before the Lord. And this realization of worshiping the Lord comes from nurturing and building our intimacy with God. See, only in intimacy are the things of God birthed in our lives. Just like our husband and wife are intimate and a child is brought forth, in the same way when you are intimate with the Lord, when you come together and you spend time in the presence of the Lord, it's when you begin to understand what He wants of us. I remember when I made a decision to engage God, to really get into God's presence, to spend time with Him. And that's when I read the Word of God, I recognize that God is speaking to me through those words. That when I spend time in that intimate times of worship is when direction comes. A peace settles in my heart. You want to know who to get married to? Spend time with God. You want to know what job to take? Spend time with God. You want to know how many children you have? Spend time with God. The answer for everything is spend time in His presence and He will direct your paths. Just like how the word was, His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And the second way that we can approach the throne of God is by having a hunger and passion for the things of God. A hunger and passion. And someone who really lived and breathed this hunger, being hungry in the presence of God, is King David. He penned this down and said, as the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after you. So my soul thirsts for you. There is a passion and a hunger that you see from the life of David. That he was called a man after God's own heart. There was a hunger within him. And there's one incident that's recorded in the book of 2 Samuel, verses chapter 6. And David is bringing back the Ark of Covenant to the city of David. And verse 14, he says this, then David danced before the Lord with some of his might. Is that what it says? No, then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of the Lord brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. See, when the people of Israel, when they saw the way that David worshipped his God, the way that he put everything aside and he just danced before the Lord with all his might, it became contagious. And the people of God got excited and they started shouting. They started blowing trumpets in worship of the God. Can I ask you to shout? One, two, three. That's exactly how it sounded like. They were shouting in the presence of God. There was a joy. And they were excited that the Ark of the Covenant was coming back and David was dancing with all his might. With everything that was within him. Passion for the Lord, hunger for the Lord is contagious. If you know immediately as I'm talking to you, you know and you recognize there are some people that you know that just have that hunger and thirst for God. And it shows in every area of their lives. But just after that, David goes back. In verse 20, it says, and David returned to bless his household. And Michal, who is his wife, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, and she's being really sarcastic here. He goes, how glorious. Okay, let me try and speak like a queen. How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one base fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. Okay, that's English, love, but she was Hebrew, right? But anyway. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. What does it say? Therefore I will play music before the Lord and I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. What does David say? Look, woman, you can say whatever you want, but I am the king, and I know who the King of Kings is, and I am going to worship him with all my might, no matter what you say. I will be even more undignified than this. And we will, and I will be humble in my own sight. Look at the attitude that David had. Look at the heart that David had in approaching God. He is the king of all Israel. But he dressed down. He dressed like a priest in a linen ephod. And he just danced with all his might. Danced with all his might. See, worship is always a heart issue. Worship is always a heart issue. Exuberant, passionate worship always overflows from the right relationship with God. But look at Michael. She had grown up in the palace. She had grown up in a place where she was prim and proper. She was a daughter of Saul. And she had certain amount of dignity or in the way that she was brought up. And she said, no, that's not how kings should behave. And sometimes we have that same attitude. That's not how you worship God. That's not how you live your life. You shouldn't just give him all. See, if your heart is right before God, the things of God will lead you to worship. When you see when you see people glorifying God, it becomes contagious. You begin to glorify God. When you enter into church, there is an excitement, there is an anticipation of what God is going to do that day. But if your heart is not right before God, the things of God can even bring a critical spirit from within. Oh, the music was too loud today. I don't dance. Nothing can move me. I don't give my tithes. I won't give to God. I don't have the money. And even if I do, I can use it for other things. I can't join a ministry. I don't have the time. But when you're worshiping God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. David said, I will be even more undignified than this. He goes on to say that, you know, those people that you saw, that you talked about, you know, that you say that they look down on me? No. They look up to me because I led them in worship to their God. I just worship God and everyone followed. You know, it is the passion and the hunger of the psalmist that speak about who God is. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 100. Let me just try and bring this psalm a little bit alive to you. It says, shout for joy all the earth. And the word shout here is kind of like what you did just now. But it's the word roar. And this word is kind of like, if you've seen these medieval movies of, you know, the kings coming back in victory and riding in their horses and coming into their, and the whole crowd is just cheering. Yes, we've won, we've won, we've won. It's even louder than Liverpool fans will shout if they win the league this season. If. It's a shout. But it's a shout of the word toda, which is a confession of praise, of thanksgiving. Verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. The word is about serving, about laboring for the Lord with joy. Come before him with joyful songs. It's enter his gates. Enter into his presence with a joyful voice. That the moment you walk through those doors or you drive in, there's already a joyful expectation of what God is going to do. Not just in church, but when you drive into work. When you drive in, when you're sending your kids to school. There's a joyful expectation of what God is going to do this day. For this is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Know that the Lord is God. This word know is it talks about perceiving and seeing, finding out, discerning for yourself. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture, made in the image of God. enter his gates with thanksgiving. It talks about going into a public place with that confession of praise and thanksgiving. And the Message translation says, enter with the password, thank you. Enter into God's presence, into his presence with the password, thank you. Have you tried to sign in to your Apple account or your Gmail account or your CNBClix account and you forget the password? What happens? One time you enter, wrong username, password. One time you enter, wrong username, password. I am the password keeper for my parents. Whenever they want to do something, they'll call me, what's my password? Huh? I say, never mind, I'll just do it for you, come, you know. But if you don't have the password, you can't enter into your email. You can't enter into that. You're locked out. And this is the thought that is behind this, that you need to have a heart of gratitude even as you enter into God's presence. It's not just about saying thank you, but it's about thank you, God. Thank you. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It's a realization that we are God's people. And as us, as God's people, there is a sense of gratitude. There's a sense of joy. There's a sense of knowing who our God is, and he knows who we are. There's a powerful, passionate, exuberant spiritual stance that comes from knowing our God. And the best part is when we approach God, he draws us even closer to him. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, it's not there, but let me just read it to you. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. One of the things someone told me when I was about to move to Suramban and come here was that, you know, if you move to the Southern Division, or if you move down and all of that, you will never get any position. You will never think it's all in the central district. Everything in Malaysia happens in KL, not down south. But when I thought about it, I said, Lord, I'm just following you. I will go where you send me, and you will lift me up in time. When and how and what, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to follow you. I'm just going to follow you. When you draw near to God, he draws near to you. And the third and final way for the sermon is how we approach the throne of God is by having the right posture. Having the right posture. Revelation chapter 4 is a beautiful picture of the throne room of God. Reading from verse 9, it says, whenever the living creatures give, come on, say it with me, glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive, come on, glory and honor and power. The same thought as the psalmist, for you created all things and by your will they exist and were created. It's a picture of the throne room of God in heaven. And whoever these elders are in this picture that is depicted here, they have crowns, they have some rewards. But when they come and they see the Lord seated on the throne, what do? They don't just take their crowns off and put it on the ground, but they cast it down. They cast it down. They say, it's nothing. And they fall down and they worship the Lord. Paul, arguably one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. And he was highly acclaimed. He studied so much. He was so well read. He was Hebrew of Hebrews. He gives a long list of credentials. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, in the Amplified Bible, this is what he says. But more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with Him, a joy unequaled. For His sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it all garbage so that I may gain Christ. Now, Paul casts down all his earthly crowns, his credentials, his qualifications, his honors. He said, all of it is garbage. And if you look at the original language, he uses the word dung. I consider it all dung compared to knowing my Jesus. You know, the primary word in the Hebrew language for worship is the word shakar. It means to prostrate, to depress, to bow down, to crouch, to fall down flat, to humbly beseech in obeisance, to do reverence, to make, to stoop, to worship. And that's a physical posture of worship. It actually means to lie down prostrate on the ground where your forehead touches the ground. I promise you I won't sleep. But your entire being, everything, your posture is laid down. You know, you're the most vulnerable when you're in this position. Anyone can step on you. But you're being vulnerable before the Lord God Almighty. You're in prostrate down before, for He is worthy. If you know how the Muslims pray, they get down on their knees and their forehead touches the ground. They've got something right there. But for us, it's not just a physical posture. It is a spiritual posture. It's a spiritual posture. Physically, we can do that, but where is our heart? Where is our spirit? Where is our attitude? The Greek word used 59 times in the New Testament for worship is the word proskuneo. It means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. How many of you are dogs at home? Yeah? How many of you have got cats at home? Cats? Okay, we'll pray for you, okay? But dog people, let me just talk to you for a while. You know, when you come home, what happens? When you're just entering, the dog is going left to right, he's walking here, he's walking over there, he's like waiting, and his tail is wagging, and if you've got a door that's separating, it's probably all scratched because they're jumping. Away. The moment you open the door, he like jumps on you, I'm so glad you're home. He starts, you know, running around your leg and all of that. There's a sense of excitement, anticipation. Oh, my master's back, my master's back, my master's back. If you've got a cat, meow. You're home. Feed me. Clear my litter box. Are you done yet? But the word proskuneo is how a dog waits for his master and licks the hand with love, with just that adoration, with just being so enthralled by your master. So are you a cat Christian or are you a dog Christian? Do we approach God and say, God, what can you do for me? Can you feed me? Can you provide for me? When I come to worship you, let's see. Let's see what you do today. But if you have that attitude of like how a dog does. You know, when I was growing up, I had this dog. We called him Ace Kutia. Okay, let me explain that. Okay, Ace is, yeah, there was this movie, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, a long time ago, right? So we threw some names on the floor and he went and picked up this name. Okay, we called him Ace. And the word Kutia means dog in Hindi. You know, so Kutia, okay? So Ace Kutia, that was his full name, okay? So Ace was, he kind of like grew up with me. It was a mix of a Spitz and a Alsatian. So it was the size of a Spitz, about this big, furry and all, but it had the color of an Alsatian. So he was like kind of weird identity, but he probably had an identity crisis, but never mind about that. You know, but he grew up with me. So whenever I was around, he would always follow me. When I went to school and came back, or when I'm watching TV, I had a couch, but I won't sit on the couch. I'll sit in front of the couch and kind of lean behind it and watch TV. He will come and like squeeze between my back and the couch, force his way through, and then put his head on this side and watch TV with me. So that contact has constantly be there. Now my daughter does it when we sleep, like constantly squeezing between us and all of that. You know, but there was this constant contact, that desire for I want to be wherever you are. I want to do whatever you're doing. I want to just be around you. And the moment I left, have you seen that dog face looking out at you as you're driving off or you're going off, and the dog face like, when are you coming back? You know, there's that separation. And the moment you know that around that time is coming, he already starts moving around. He always starts wagging his tail. There's an excitement and anticipation that's building up. But for us, when we come to the throne of God, we need to come with a posture of humility and reverence towards God. It's not just, in a way, a dog yes comes to it and that attitude is there. But we also need to have a certain amount of seriousness, of fear and respect that we should have when we approach God. You know, the same God that David worshipped when bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, just if you read further back on, it was put on a cart and brought down. And this guy, Uzziah, who was kind of like walking alongside, and the cart kind of stumbled. So he put his hand on it to stop this cart from falling, the Ark of the Covenant falling. And God got so angry, he struck him out dead on the spot. This is the same God that when people spoke against him, the ground opened up and swallowed them up. If you read the time when Moses was in the desert. If you read Revelation, the picture of God is in a white robe and there's fire in his eyes. We only see sometimes the God of love, the God of care, the God of grace, but he's also the God of wrath. And we are living in a time of grace. So when we approach God, we don't do it lightly. We don't take it lightly. It's not something to be taken for granted. Because remember, Jesus gave his life, he died and resurrected so that we can have access to this God that loved us. Can I have the worship team up, please? You know, we need to have a right relationship with our God. It all stems from there. It all starts from there. And when we have a right understanding and perspective of who God is and who we are, children of the living God, we have that freedom and that hunger and passion to worship him. And we need to have that right spiritual posture, not just externally. You know, God doesn't look outside so much, but he looks at your heart. So it doesn't matter if we are here and but our heart is not here. It matters to God. We can be physically here, but if your heart is not here, if your attitude of worship, if that humility is not here, it matters to God. See, true worship begins with a deep respect and reverence for God, a position of heart and attitude. And this must be fixed in our mind and spirit before we go any further. The acts of worship, like singing and giving and serving and loving, it's all an overflow as a result of that attitude with God. But the devil's strategy is always to steal that worship. If you remember in Matthew chapter 4, when he took Jesus up to the hill and he said, you bow down and worship me and I'll give you all of these things. And that's what the devil is saying today as well to a lot of us. Just like how Adam went hiding from God, he says, you are not good enough. You will always not be worthy. You can never do it on your own. So take this imitation. Take these drugs, take this pornography, take this sin. He tries to fill that God-shaped vacuum with everything else under the sun, with narcissism, with self-sufficiency, with education, with wealth. But let me tell you, it will never be sufficient. My daughter has this game where you've got a circle, a triangle, a square. And then at the same time in the box, there is that shape of a circle, a shape of a triangle, a shape of a square. And as much as you want, you can't take a circle and force it through that triangle. It just doesn't fit. In the same way, we have that God-shaped vacuum, that God-shaped hole in our heart. And the only thing that will give us that sufficiency is God Himself. Is God Himself. Because when God, only God can fill that vacuum, that emptiness. For He made you, He knows you, He loves you, and He is worthy of it all. Come on, I said He is worthy of it all. And that's why even in hard times, even in difficult situations, we can praise and worship our God. Because we know that even if our situations change, our God does not change. That He is still worthy of glory. He's still worthy of honor. He's still worthy of praise. That's why we can praise Him through our problems. We can raise a hallelujah even in the presence of our enemies. That is why we can praise through our problems. That's why we can come into God's presence regardless of the situation around us. Not avoiding it, but being real about it. See, worship is never delusional, but it's always directional. We don't get lost into a virtual world when we come in and we worship God or we sing songs or we pray. It's not a delusional world, but it's a directional world. We are directing our praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is seated on the throne and who reigns over it all. You know, I preached a similar message like this last night at the Nilai Outreach. And we went home, we had dinner, and we went to bed. But at 4 o'clock this morning, I suddenly felt my heart just racing, just getting faster and faster and faster. And there was suddenly like a panic that just came over me. I took out my phone and I Googled symptoms of a heart attack. It's funny now, but it wasn't at 4 this morning, believe me. And I'm like, should I get to the emergency room? Should I, what should I do? And just at that moment, the sermon I preached last night came to life. And I began to praise God. I began to worship Him. I'm not saying don't ignore the signs your body is telling you, yeah, I'm due of a checkup, I'll go and do that. But at that moment, I recognized that God is in control. And I worshipped and I sang and I just praised. I didn't want to wake my wife up, but somehow she woke up. And I told her and she prayed over me. And it was only after that that a peace just settled upon me. And I could get back to sleep. But let me tell you this, God is real. And when we worship our God, when we come to Him in that authenticity, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. He draws near to us. That's why even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. That's why we can lift our hands and surrender to our King. And at the same time, it's a cry of victory. That oxymoron of surrendering and declaring victory at the same time. The most important question that we can ask today is, who is the King of your heart? Do we have that relationship with Him that we can cry out to Him? If you don't, let me tell you this. It's the best decision that you can ever make. If you already know Jesus, but if you know Him from a distance, let me encourage you with all my heart, draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. We're going to sing this song. Why don't you just rise and let this song just minister to you. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, come have your way, O Lord.